In the Lord's parable, who does the Lord mean by the Lord of the house who planted a vineyard and put a hedge around it, dug a wine press and built a tower in it, and then let it out or rented it to farmers and then went away into a far country? Who do you think he means? He means the Lord, because the vineyard stands for the Lord's church. And the Lord is the one who sets up the church. He gives us his word, which teaches us how we can have a fruitful life. We can produce lots of good fruit, like the grapes in the vineyard. He gives us the word to make a nice hedge around our church to protect us. He sets up a watchtower with his word to help us keep an eye out for enemies. And he gives us a wine press to take the good fruits and press them into sweet wine, which represents a life of love toward the neighbor. And it seems like he goes away into a far country because we don't see him around us, but actually we know that the Lord is with us all the time. Now, who do you suppose he means by the bad farmers in this parable? Well, you can probably guess that he means the chief priests and Pharisees who made a mess of his church. He means every church when it goes bad, because a church is meant to be a place where you learn, what does the Lord teach in his word? How can I live a good life and follow him and be led to heaven? How can I love my neighbor as myself? But when a church goes bad, they take the Lord's word and they twist it till it seems like it says something opposite to what it really means. They say, for example, that you don't have to keep the commandments. In fact, you can't keep the commandments. But don't worry, God loves you anyway. As long as you say you believe in the Lord, then you'll go to heaven. Well, that's obviously not true. It is true that the Lord loves us, but it's not true that people who do not love to keep his commandments are going to be happy in heaven. That's not true. And so who are the servants that the Lord of the house sent to the farmers to say, please, may I have some of the fruit of the vineyard? So who are the Lord's messengers that he sent to his church to say, please, live a good life. Don't do evil things. Live a good life. Well, you might know that those are his prophets, men like Elijah and Elisha. And did the church actually do the kinds of things Jesus talks about to the prophets? Did they kill them and stone them and beat them up? Yes, they did. You might remember how Queen Jezebel tried to kill Elijah, so he had to run away into the wilderness. Or we can read in the book of Jeremiah. It's a long book, and it's full of nasty things that they did to him. Like once they put him down into a pit full of mud, so he sank in up to his armpits. And only because an Ethiopian man came with 30 men in ropes and pulled him up out of the mud did he survive. And we can read about similar things in the book of Ezekiel, nasty things they did to him and to Amos. Or we can find out in the New Testament what they did to his prophet Zechariah. Jesus tells us that they murdered him between the temple and the altar, right there in the Lord's house. He was trying to teach the people how they could live a good life and be saved, and they killed him. Why did they do that? Because they didn't want to hear, you have to stop doing these bad things and live a good life. They didn't want to hear that. And finally, who does he mean by his son that he sent, the last of all, and they murdered him too? Well, you can probably tell. Jesus is talking about himself because he knows that they're about to crucify him. And then Jesus asked, what will the Lord of the house do when he comes? And the Pharisees and chief priests themselves answered, and they said, he will destroy those evil farmers and let out the vineyard to other farmers who will bring him the fruits. So they kind of knew what was going to happen to them. And then Jesus quotes the Psalm 118, which we read first today, about the stone which the builders rejected becoming the chief cornerstone or the head of the corner. So that's another little parable about a church. Sort of like you have builders who are trying to build a church, And there's this beautiful big stone that would make a great corner for their church. And they say, nah, we don't want that one. So they try to build a church without it, and it falls down. And so the Lord gets new builders who are glad to have this stone be the corner of their church. See, corners are the strongest parts of a building, where one wall helps the other wall stand up. And when you're building a building out of stones, like a lot of the barns around here, people will use big stones at the corners so that the building is really strong. Now, you probably know what stone corresponds to in the Word, and we read about that in Heaven and Hell. Stones correspond to divine truth, right? That's because truths, the Lord's truths, are firm and hard and lasting. You can count on them. People use stones for the boundaries of their property, corner posts, because the stones aren't going to go anywhere. They're going to stay there, and they're going to last a long time. And the Lord gives us boundary markers in His Word. He says, here's where you're going to be safe. Stay on this side of the line, and you'll be fine. But if you cross the line, you're going to get into trouble. He gives us those stones because He loves us, and He wants to keep us safe. And what's the most important truth of all, the great cornerstone that the church needs to be built on? It is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one God of heaven and earth. And at the same time, that God, the creator of the universe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's such a wonderful thing to know, because now we know who God is. We know who made us. We know why He made us. He made us to live a fruitful, useful life so that we can be servants in His kingdom forever and be happy there. We know who redeemed us, that Jehovah God Himself, the one who keeps the planets spinning in their orbits all the time, who makes the plants grow in the springtime, makes the animals grow, who takes care of all the souls in the universe, natural world and spiritual world, and is always lifting up as many souls into heaven as are willing to come. That very God is the one who came down into this world to save us when we needed Him most, to set us free from the evil spirits, make us free to choose heaven or hell as we choose. And we know who our Savior is, the one who's with us all the time, God with us. We don't see Him, but we know He's with us all the time. He's giving us guidance. He's giving us strength. He's giving us encouragement. He's warding off the evil spirits. And when we fall down, He helps us repent. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know who He is, and we know how to worship Him. We know how to find Him in His Word. And that's why Easter is so wonderful, because that's where we see it most clearly. We see that He was willing to take on a weak, ordinary human body. The Creator of the universe was willing to come down into this world and put on all the weaknesses that we have by which the hells hurt us and attack us, and let the hells attack Him and conquer them, subjugate them, put them firmly under His control forever. Now the evil spirits know that if we are followers of the Lord, they're done. They can't do anything to us. And so the Lord saved us. He gave us our freedom. And then He was willing to finish that job by letting them put His natural body to death. And then He rose again so we could see He was not just an ordinary man or a great prophet, He is the Lord God. Now, the Lord has set up a new vineyard. He's given us His Old Testament word, His New Testament word, and His heavenly doctrine, and He's set up a new church, and He's let it out to us. And we can choose to be good farmers because the Lord is with us and He will help us. And an interesting thing, as Heaven and Hell pointed out, is in this world, everybody basically has to live a good life anyway. You have to act honestly and justly on the outside, because otherwise you won't have any friends and you might go to jail. Since we have to live a good life anyway, why not do it for the Lord? Not just keep His commandments because we don't want to get into trouble, but because they're the Lord's commandments, who loves us and is helping us prepare for eternal life. We can do that because the Lord is with us. And that's the difference. And when we get to the spiritual world, if we have kept the Lord's commandments because they're His commandments, then as we're coming along in the spiritual world, our eyes are going to be open. We're going to be looking for the great stone at the parting of the ways. And when we get to it, we're going to know, I need to continue to follow the Lord's word. I'm going to turn left and follow the narrow path that leads to heaven. On the other hand, if we say, I don't know if there's any God, I don't believe in any God, then we're going to crash into that stone. We're going to be walking along blindly. We won't see it. And then we'll continue on rushing on in our way the other way. It's our free choice. It's our free choice. And the Lord gives us free choice because He loves us, and love has to be given and received freely. So let's be good farmers with the beautiful vineyard the Lord has given us. Let's make use of the truths the Lord's given us to live a fruitful life, a useful life. We can learn to love our neighbors as the Lord loves us. Give Him the fruits of the vineyard. And let's be good builders and found our church firmly on the greatest truth of all, that the Lord God, Jesus Christ, reigns, whose kingdom shall be for ages of ages. Amen.